All right, I'm going to start reading here, starting in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of who? Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful or believing Abraham. Amen. All right. We are teaching on living in the supernatural. That's just something I thought about when I was reading this. Man, I need to say something about that. But we're teaching on living in the supernatural, and we're saying that once you get born again, then there's another realm that you and I can live in. And this realm that you and I can live in, it's a realm that has its own laws, it has its own values and culture, and it has its own principles. And the principles that the realm that we're talking about now are superior principles to the inferior principles of the world. You might come in the world and revenge and greed and selfishness and lying and jealousies and manipulation and all that. All that's low life. Say low life. But God called you to live the high life. And you're going to have the principles of the kingdom of God having to do with principles of love and peace and justice and mercy and goodness and unity and helping folk, you know, and holiness. So all these things come from another kingdom. And you and I can live that way. The Bible talks about over in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, that we are to have these fruit, and all of them founded really on love, on God. But they have to be done, and they have to be executed by faith, that it takes faith to do that. Now, in this, we're teaching now on the subject of the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom. Let's go over there. Over in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is now still teaching and doing a lot of teaching here on the kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God refers to Christians worldwide living by the instructions of God's word and depending on his provision and serving God and not serving this world. Remember, there are two systems out here right now existing in the earth. Only two. One is Babylon. Babylon is a society attempting to meet its needs without God. Babylon. The other one is a kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is coming to invade Babylon. And Babylon has offered a lot of glitter, a lot of things, a lot of bling bling in Babylon. And people have been drawn to it because it looks like a quick fix. And just like some of these principles of manipulation and revenge, they look like in the natural, in the flesh, they please the flesh because the flesh is under the control of those kind of things, meaning that when Adam sinned, that's where he went to the kingdom of darkness. Satan became the god of this world, and that's the way people get ahead and step on people, so forth and so on. But in the kingdom, you don't need to do that. Because if you want to get promoted, all you have to do is go to Psalm 75. You'll see that God will promote you. And so I'm saying that whatever is going on in this world, even though it might seem like it has some power to it, in the end, the way of that is the way of death. That's what it says over in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse. Let me give you the reference so you'll know. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse, glory to God. Verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is a way of death. And all you have to do is go to Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter, I haven't gotten to my scripture yet, have I? Isaiah chapter 14, and over in Isaiah chapter 14, put it on the board so nobody have to turn to it. If you look it says in verse 13, "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the height of the clouds, I will be like the Most High." This is the devil talking now, Satan, Lucifer. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the side of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to what? Tremble? That did shake kingdoms? That made the world as a what? Wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners." Is this a man? And we're going to say that. We're going to see him. We look at him and say, no, wait a minute. Is this? Oh, you kidding me? Is this a guy? Also, if you will, on my way to my scripture, look at Ezekiel chapter 36. In Ezekiel chapter 36, it's interesting because Satan, remember those principles, if you do them, they'll destroy you. That's what they're the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, it says, "They that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption," or if you look at the word in the Greek, it's destruction. So the reason why the earth is being destroyed, or people's lives or things that were happening, is not because of global warming. what a trick that is. It's because there's no man can destroy this earth. Don't you ever forget that. No man, it's too well built. But what can destroy it is a spiritual part called sin. And whatever is not of faith is sin. And what happens is as a person sows to the flesh, they will reap destruction. Sow to the spirit, you'll reap eternal life. Look what it says here, because the enemy is the one that comes to ruin the earth. He's the one that comes to tear up everything and make it so it's hard for you to live. But look what happens when the blessing comes. Because the Bible says that in Romans chapter 8, it says that the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? We are the children of God. We're the sons of God. The whole earth is waiting for us to come out of the closet. Everybody else coming out, why don't we just come on out? Praise God. All right? Now, understand, we waiting on something. What we waiting on, I don't know, but we'll cover some of that today. Look what it said in verse 33 in Ezekiel chapter 36. "Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, wherein it lay desolate, in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, This land that was desolate is become like the what? Garden of Eden." So you can go from a ghetto to a garden. Watch this. "And the waste and desolate and ruined cities," there it is right there, what Satan messed up, the devil, God can clean it up, "are become fenced and inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places. I plant that which was desolate, and I, the Lord, have spoken it." Come on. "And I will do it." Praise God. But he can do it only through us. And God limited himself on purpose to the fact that you and I have authority over this earth. So he's expecting us to do something about what's been there. The drug problem is not the city's problem, it's the church's problem. Come on now. How long are we going to let this go on? Because we can fix things in Europe. Now remember what is on you, it's called the blessing. And the blessing is on you to fix anything that's broke. The blessing is on you, oh, geez, to make anything that is out of line with heaven come back into alignment with heaven and God's original intent. The blessing is that powerful. The blessing. Now that blessing, remember, God blessed them. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, Replenish, replenish. It means to perpetually renew it and supply it. Replenish the earth and do what to it? Subdue it. Subdue it. So the blessing, Adam lost, he blew off the blessing. Who got it back? Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. Now, where is it now? Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for cursed is everyone hanging on the tree. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham may come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Folks, this blessing is powerful enough to fix anything that's broke. And that's what Jesus was preaching, the blessing. The Pharisees were preaching the law, but Jesus was preaching the blessing. Now, I know I got, let's just read this scripture. Praise the Lord. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 13. You're there, right? I said you were there, right? Look at verse 18. Hear, therefore, the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth, my Bible is so marked up there. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now underline the word of the kingdom. Anyone hears the word of the kingdom. All right. I understand, that's the word of the kingdom. And Jesus preached the word of the kingdom. Now, while I'm over here, oh, gosh, geez, man. Ah, yeah. Whew. Jesus never spoke or did anything that the Father didn't tell him to do. Well, that's good news there, isn't it? All right, now, I'm saying this because this is what Jesus preached. Remember what he said in Matthew 4:4. Put it up on the screen, please. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. This is when Jesus was being tempted of the devil. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live, come on, by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Some of y'all really need to take that and use that, for, you know. Okay, so man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, the word of the kingdom. Now, Jesus preached this word because the blessing is the power of God to override the curse. Whatever the curse has done, the blessing can undo. Now I'm talking about your life. The blessing. Now, two things I want to show you. I want to show you Deuteronomy chapter 30, but I also want to show you what Jesus preached. Now, let me show you where Jesus preached first. Let's go over, because he's preaching now. And I was in Uyo, Nigeria. That was our first stop. And the bishop, just beautiful, and took us around. I spoke with the church at night and so forth, had a great time. And then the next morning, he was taking us back to the airport and so forth. We had this long caravan of cars and entourage and police and everything, because I'm a king. No, I was just kidding. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. Praise the Lord. But anyway, so he was saying about Angola, what's happening there. As you know, in Angola, they have a lot of ethnic fightings and so forth and so on. And some of the young girls, he is saying, I just cried. And I see some of the young girls, and I look at them, and they're just beautiful. They could be on anybody's front page of the magazine, just beautiful. But during that ethnic conflict, one of the things that they do is cut their hands off. So you got these beautiful girls with no hands. He said, I just cried, all right? Let's go to see what Jesus preached. Let's go over here to Matthew chapter 15, please. Because, see, I'm word-minded. When somebody says something to me, because I'm loaded with the word, I don't judge it by my own sympathy. I judge it by the truth. Now, look at this. Now, you and I know it's a tragedy cutting people's hands off like that, but look at the scriptures, because the world doesn't have an answer. Verse 29, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh into the Sea of Galilee, and he went up into the mountain and sat down there. And a great multitude came to him, and having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, underline the next one, lame, and many others, and cast them down to Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the what? Dumb to speak. Keep going. The maimed to be made whole. Keep going. The lame to walk, and the blind to see, and what else? And they glorified the God of who? Israel. Now, isn't this interesting? He said, when the maimed were brought to Jesus, he healed them. That means when the young girls from Angola were brought to Jesus, hands grew back. Now, here's the key. The key is that Jesus is not doing that to show that he alone is able to do that, meaning that this is a one-time thing that when Jesus is in the earth, he can carry it out. But he's showing you that what he did, he is saying, stop identifying with folk that are not saved, come on, not in the kingdom, and don't have the word of the kingdom. Stop identifying with them. Why are you identifying with them? Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Oh, yeah. John chapter 14, look what it says in verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the work now. I don't do the work. Come on, the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the work. Now watch verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is you he's talking to. He that believeth on me, do you believe on him? The works that I do, shall you do, come on. Also, keep going. And greater works than these shall you do, why? Because I'm going to the Father. Now, wait a minute. This is not just for us four and no more. This is for believers. This is saying that, wait a second, I know you thinking I can do all of this only because I'm here and so forth, but you got to understand, my reason for coming is to restore you back to what you can do in this earth. And to do that, you got to flip your mind. You cannot see yourself on the side of the road begging the government for a handout anymore. Because any government that can supply everything you need can take everything from you. So what you got to see yourself is a person passing by. You must convert your thinking to the fact that you are sent here as a distributor. Not a representative of the wealth, a representative with the wealth. Now, wait a minute. All you got to do is change your thinking. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. That God cannot work through you except to the extent that you believe. So what do you believe? Abraham believed God. So all of a sudden I tell you that, hey, wait a second. You don't need to borrow any more money. Let me come over here because that's awesome. You don't need to borrow any more money. Now, wait a minute. What I'm speaking is the word of the kingdom. Yes, sir. Yes. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. Now, he's talking about the word of the kingdom. When you get it, you got to sow it. Amen. You got to sow it. You're going to take that word and convert your thinking. Amen. See, the reason why you can't perhaps think that thought is because you're getting your thinking from another source. Amen. But when your source becomes the Word, the Word will elevate you and take you to that level of thinking. Put Isaiah 55 on the board, please, verse 8. Now, you know it's the word because in Deuteronomy chapter 28, he said, I'll make you the lender, come on, and not the borrower. But notice, you know, I was playing tennis. I was telling this in the earlier service, playing my coach the other day. And he said to me, Bill, he said, you know, you hit so much better when you're practicing. You see what he's saying? He's saying all of a sudden you get in the game and your thinking changes. You revert back. And what you need to do is understand when the pressure comes on you, you got to be willing to trust. Say amen to that. In this case, you got to trust your stroke. You got to trust that top spin. You got to trust it now. You know, I had a habit of looking down the court while I'm hitting the ball. Well, you do that, you pull your head up. If you pull your head up, the ball always follows your head. Same thing in flying. If you ever take your head, if you're not used to it, and you look out the window, your airplane will tend to turn. The same thing about it. So in let me come over here. So, are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying you gotta trust it. See, you got to be willing to believe that.
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure what I put on the board before. What did I put? Isaiah 55. Take Isaiah 55 down, put up Deuteronomy chapter 30. You got to be willing to trust it. See, because you got to arrive there by faith. And faith is not a feeling. That's why a lot of preachers sometimes don't preach the truth. Because it might make somebody mad. And if it makes somebody mad, then they'll take their credit rating and go somewhere else. Put it up here, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Look what it says. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you, watch this, life and death, keep going, blessing, come on, and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. Notice what you got, a choice. You have a choice as to whether to believe God's word. And watch this, he won't take that choice away. And I can guarantee you, the right choice is not a feeling. If you're going to make your decisions of what you do, what your business are, so forth, and you're going to make them solely on money, you're going to be wrong 99% of the time.
Come on, Pastor.
It's not about that. It's about the Word.
Come on, Pastor.
The Word of God is a controlling factor in everything in your life. You get the Word in you and money will have to bow.
Hey.
You get the word in you and sickness cannot reign in your body. You get the word of God in you and nobody can shake your peace. You get the word of God in you and your marriage will come back to heaven. Now put that one up there. I put it up there before. How we doing? No. I said, how we doing? See, the devil is a liar. But what he plays with is your emotions and your flesh. And you got to get your feelings off your fingertips. You got to say, I don't care how I feel about this. I'm standing on the word of God. And right now, if you know the word of God says you'll be the lender, not the borrower, that my God shall supply all your need. Come on now. If you know that to be true, then you start saying that. Now it goes in your soil and it begins to affect your thinking. Yes. Say amen to that. Amen. Lord have mercy. I know I got Deuteronomy. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Praise God. I want to go to where I'm trying to go, to Isaiah 55, but I can't get there yet. Oh, yeah. Your days of toiling are over. I said, this is the word from the kingdom. Your days of struggling are over. I said, take my word for it. You can't get enough jobs to make what God wants to give you. Where did I just say you turn again? Proverbs 6:6. And look what it says here. This is the word now, the word of the kingdom. Verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them now continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck. When you go, it will lead you. When you sleep, come on, it'll keep you. When you wake, come on, it's gonna talk with you. The word of God speaks. The word of God will tell you, no, don't go over there, go over here. The word of God will tell you, no, don't say that, say this. The word of God will tell you, no, don't invest in that, invest in that. Because it's the word of the kingdom. Isaiah 55, put it up. Remember, Babylon is a society trying to meet its needs without God. Take God out of business, take him out of education, take him out of family, take him out of everything. But you came to bring him back. God is invading. Put it up on the board. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my what? Ways your ways. So notice how much your thoughts have to do with your ways. And you see people acting wrong because they're thinking wrong. As a man thinketh in his heart, come on, so is he. Next verse. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. Keep going. For as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Watch. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish. Keep on. That which I please. And what? What is that? What happened here? All good. All right. Y'all see my finger turning around. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I shall. One of the reasons why you're in here is for God to elevate you, to distinguish you, to let people know who you are and who He is. He's not out to condemn folk. People are condemned already. Now He's out to save. Last place, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Praise God. Matthew chapter 5, and let's look at verse 13. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Out of debt, every need met in abundance. Why? Because I'm not trying to just meet my needs. I'm loaded. I'm going to help take care of somebody else. When I was a kid, I used to be acting up. Mama used to tell me, boy, you're acting just like the devil. Well, that's who I was hearing from. Yeah. Yeah. Those thoughts will affect your behavior. And He wants to get you to get His word and not the word of the kingdom. Well, I ain't, Reverend, ain't no way I can get out of debt. What do you mean by that? Why don't you start saying I'll be out by December 31st of this year? I'll be out. Let's start saying. What's wrong with start saying? You ain't got nothing to lose. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, where shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Give the Lord a hand, would you? Folks, it's not hard. If He told you to run a 26.2-mile marathon, that'd be kind of tough. The only thing He's asking you to do here is believe. He said, if thou can believe, come on. All things are possible. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what we'd like to do today is bring you in. You can't get kingdom privileges.